Father, it is so great to be in your house where everybody is seeking you. Everyone is welcome to hear the truth, to know the truth. And Lord Jesus, like so many in the Bible, Father, I'm not worthy. I am but flesh. I am slow in the mind, slow to speak. And yet, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit speak through this vessel. Father, I pray that there will be revival in all of us today through this word. Father, for each one here and through their families and their friends. Father, may this community, the Shady Cove Trail community, from Brophy Way to Madden Lane to Rogue River Drive to Chaparral to Schoolhouse Lane, Hudspeth, Train Lane, all the way up 227 to Crowfoot, Shady Trails, RV, Country View Estates. This community, Father, belongs to you. For Father, this is your creation. I pray for revival. And so, Father, may your word speak today loud and clear. Father, may we take that chalk line each and every day and draw a circle around us for a revival of one. And touch hearts with our love and kindness and grace and meekness and self-control. Father, we love you. May you give us the word today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it is a pleasure to be here today. Pastor Mike asked us to come, and it's always a privilege to come. This was home for us for 18 years, long time, and got to teach at Shady Cove School. Our children went to Shady Cove and Elk Trail. For those of you who don't know, there was this beautiful little school up river, and it was just a great place to be, and I'm privileged to be here today to speak, and my family, my wife Kathy is here, and my children, Abby and Tiana, and her husband Alan, and Abby's husband Dylan, and his dad Dwayne, and my nephew Richie from New Jersey, and all the rest. We're just very, very privileged to be in the Lord's house. So let's go ahead and open up our word to, or God's word to, Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. In the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua. Joshua 14, starting at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, or 85 years of age. Verse 11, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. I'm just curious, in a crowd like this, how many of you are 30 years or older? Look around. Well, I've got a quote that's going to make your day. Henry David Thoreau, that famous author, once said, "I am convinced that a human being ripens until the age of 30, and after that, he just rots." And I know there's a lot of truth to that, for I see, no matter how physically fit we try to be, I know in my own life that, well, parts are wearing out and things just don't feel the way they used to. I was reminded of that about, well, a month ago. Part of our family, we were celebrating Independence Day in Pacific City. Pacific City, that place next to Lincoln City. And the family that was there, we got together to play the family game, spike ball. You know, that little net where you do some jiving and hitting and diving. So we were doing the jiving and the hitting and the diving. And Dylan, the 23-year-old, my son-in-law, was there. And Abby, my daughter, the 22-year-old, was not there. And my wife, Kathy, was there. And my compadre, Dwayne, Dylan's dad, was there. And we were playing and juking and jiving and diving, having a great time. Until the next day. And anybody that has some mileage knows where this is going. The next day at home, I was walking very gingerly around the house, for my back was letting me know, spike ball, no. And Kathy was just shaking her head, and I was in pain, and the body just starts giving out. No matter how Caleb-ish I feel, it just happens. But that's okay, because, well, the next day I'm looking in the mirror and I'm going, boy, Freddie, you don't look too bad. And actually, with naked eyes, I look out at you. You don't look too bad either, because everything's pretty fuzzy in the naked eye. And you may say, well, Fred, you can make fun of us, but we talk about you. And I say, well, I may be falling apart and I may not be able to see, but that's okay, because even though I have hearing aids, I can't hear you. And so it's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to be. Then I think about, well, even if I can't move, and even though I can't see, and even though I can't hear, and you may talk about me, guess what? The next day, I can't even remember what you said anyway. So it all works out wonderfully. The age process, it's a wonderful thing. getting us ready for heaven. Well, we look at Caleb, and Caleb is a wonderful picture, a type of, a picture of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament can work that way, where it's a picture, a type of, a New Testament teaching. Because today, it's not so much that the Lord is concerned about my physical fitness, but he's wanting me to be spiritually fit. No matter what my age is, whether I'm 12, 22, 52, or 102, he cares about my spiritual fitness. And so if we take a look, if you'll turn back to Numbers chapter 13, we're going to go back 45 years to what actually Caleb did. Because you see, folks, the deal is, as you know, in life as Christians, it's a spiritual battle, isn't it? We fight it every day. And so either I have faith and put my trust in Jesus Christ to fight my spiritual battles, or I become a naysayer. I become a doubter. I become depressed and all those things. Let's check this out here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 21. And we're going to see what Joshua and Caleb did here. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahob, as men come to Hamath. Verse 23, and they came down the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. These grapes were as big as basketballs. The land was lush. It was full of fruit that was massive. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Verse 25. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came down to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So here's this excitement, all this massive fruit, and they just can't believe what they've seen. It's been wonderful. Josh and Caleb are pumped about this. Look at this fruit. Look what we've brought back. But then what happens? The other 10 give their evil report, and they look linearly, they look flatly, not to God, but they look linearly at the Anakims. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. What would Jesus say? Ye of little faith. It may pop up on the screen. We didn't coordinate. But in Isaiah chapter 41, it says, the Lord sits on the center of, or the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as what? Grasshoppers. The Lord is saying, it's a God, you got this moment. I've got this because my creation is as grasshoppers that stretches out of the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The Lord is saying, I've got it. I've got your cancer. I've got your evil report. I've got your job. I've got your addiction. I've got your depression. It's as grasshopper to me. Let's read on. Chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us out of this land so to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Would it not be better for us to be slaves and to be enslaved and live in that existence instead of to go into this land where we're going to be destroyed? And they said one to another, let us make us a captain and let us return to Egypt. That's the way I can be. That's the way our tendency can be, isn't it? I doubt, we doubt. Instead of crying out to God, you've got this. You've got this situation, Lord. I'm going to put my trust in you. I tend to go, no, I'm but a grasshopper. It's not going to happen. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, a good thing to do, before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. Verse 9, rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Read that with me. For they are bread for us. Bread for us. That means that it's a God you got this moment. That as long as I show the Lord, as I pray out to him, eyes wide open during the day, Jesus, help me. He's got this. And the Holy Spirit is going to come over you and comfort you and give you peace. And then he goes on to say, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What's profound to me is Caleb and Joshua, they lived this out at the age of 40. Fast forward 45 years at 85. What's Caleb doing? Caleb is saying, I want the high country. I want where the Anakims are. Give me the challenges of life. My tendency is to say, no, at 85, I just want to retire, kick back, take it easy. I've been to Israel before. Patty, you led us many, many years ago. But I saw the Mediterranean, those white sandy beaches, that warm bath water. I'd want to build a condo right there and just be Caleb and kick back, or go to the Galilee and build a cabin there and just take it easy. But no, my tendency is to live in the flesh. We talked about that today in Sunday school, how the flesh can just eat us up. We're living in a culture that is very fleshy. Have you noticed that? We were talking about the billboards, how it's going crazy. It's just more about the flesh, more about sin. Romans chapter 1 talks about the last days will be that way, where right will be wrong and wrong will be right. But it's not about the flesh, is it? It's about the Spirit. It's about trusting in him. And Caleb says, give me the high country. Give me the challenges. Life is not over at 85. Give me the giant problems in life. Give me the Anakims. What are your Anakims? Have you given your Anakim to the Lord? Or maybe you have multiple Anakims. Have you given that to the Lord? Have you been on bended knee? I know I need to give my Anakims daily. Because sometimes You get the safety blitz. You just get everybody and everything coming at you. Find that rest in Him only. Find that peace that only He can give you, and live vibrantly. What's keeping me vibrant and young are the giants, the giant problems. I was reminded of this last October in my own life. Kathy projected our federal tax, and it was pretty significant. It was a jumbotron tax bill. And she said, after 6 years of retirement, "You're going to have to go back to work." Oh boy, back to public school. And I tell you, going back to public school, back to Eagle Point Middle School, the tough part every morning was just in the going. The enemy would attack and say, "You can't do this. You've got this and that giant to deal with." And I got to tell you, going back into the jungle, there was giant fruit there. Wasn't me. Wasn't little Freddy. I was blessed. Yeah, kids are having lots of issues today. But with the Lord, we can do all things. What you and I need is not cushiness. Cushiness. We don't need cushiness because that's the flesh. The Lord is getting you and me ready, for those of us that know Him, for heaven. You need to kick the flesh in the teeth, because really it's the devil. You need to kick your addiction and say, "God, you got this." He does. Your promised land is Him, this side of eternity. It's not in your addiction. It's not in pleasure. It's not in money. It's not in sexual desires. It's not in what's on your iPad or iPhone or that other phone. It's not. One life will soon be passed, and pretty soon we'll all have our "I'll see you real quick, Lord" moment. We don't need to kick back spiritually, but it's all about the challenges. It's all about the difficulties that cause me to cause you to seek Him. Thinking about Marlene, my mother-in-law, our sister and our friend. I got to be really close with her being retired the last 6 years, and we got to talk a lot. And she would always talk so much about her spiritual walk and about her spiritual life and how she was ready for heaven, ready to be with the Lord, ready to see Rob, her husband, ready to see her family, her mother. And she just was a beautiful, beautiful, gentle spirit. Some of you remember her. She would always traipse down and do children's church. Such a servant. We're going to miss her, but it's only for a season, because we look through a glass darkly. Heaven is not that far away. You say, "Fred, I don't know what to do. I can't do too much. My family has this issue and that issue." Pray. Seek Him. I think of my old pastor, what he told his father-in-law years ago. His father-in-law was 99 years old. And he said, "John, I can't move my feet. My feet don't work anymore. My hands, I can't lift my shoulders. I can't see. I can't hear. I can barely eat." And my brother told his father-in-law, he said, "You know what? You're in that chair for the purpose of prayer. Everett, you're in that chair for the purpose of prayer. Don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can, because you have oxygen in your lungs. Seize that moment and seek His face." It's been said in a song that I'm not sentimental. This skin and bones is a rental, and no one makes it out alive. Yeah. 10 out of 10 people die. It's not about this life. It's about the life that is to come. And the Lord reminds me, little Freddy, don't be a jerk. Don't be a dope. This life is going to end. It's all about eternity. And I don't have to be a math major to measure eternity. It's forever. And so, my Hebron, your Hebron. The Bible says Hebron means fellowship. Caleb took Hebron, and so can we. Our fellowship is with him. It brings me to the place each and every day, right, where I cry out to the Lord and call out to him. I get old and cranky. Disappointment sets in by my stupid little expectations I put on every day, and I fall short. My sight in him fails. I don't hear his voice. I become carnal, and I gravitate to the flesh. No, little Freddy, I need to get strong spiritually and quit making excuses and own it and then give it to him, because they are his problems that he wants to take. It's a spiritual battle that we're in, and we need to own it and then give it to him. The only one that matters is the one who made us. He knows that we are frail and but dust. I can be like Judas, or I can be like Peter. Judas, once he betrayed Jesus, he hung himself. Peter, once he denied the Lord, what did he do? He came back. He came back. Come back and give it to him. Give your failures and foibles and when you don't made up, because you're part of him. He's part of you. Make that spiritual revival happen. It happens in difficulty. What did our country do during the Gulf War, for those of us that have more mileage? What did we do during 9/11? We went back to church. We went back to church, and it didn't last but a season. But that's what happens in difficult times. We realize that it's really only about you, Jesus. That's all that matters. The disciples, what did they do when Jesus fed the 5,000? Their baskets were full. And they go, yeah, you're the man. You're the man. We love you, Jesus. But when did they really see Jesus for who he was? It was that night on the Galilee, right? When the waves were really high and they were getting tossed. And they got to see Jesus with their own eyes, who he really was. And they got to hear his voice. Challenge yourself this day and this week to maybe pray, Lord, give me this day my daily challenges. Because, Lord, I know you got this. You've got it, Lord, because it's the giant problems that force me to fellowship you. It took me this storm to see you, Lord, and to hear your voice. Trailers, shady covers, prospectors, and all points in between. We are the most blessed people. We really are. We are the most blessed people to know him, to seek him, to follow him, because he is our Lord and Savior. He has your deal. He has your bummer. You just need to get out of your depression through him, because of this. We have this living and breathing document called the Bible. And through his word, we can trust in him and give it to him, because his word says, great, I don't know what to do, Lord, but my eyes are on you. I will seek you because I love you, and you will embrace me. You are my strength. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and the peace of God will guard your heart. For you will keep me in perfect peace, for our mind is stayed on you. For we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God. For he knows the plans that he has for us, plans of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. For you will lead me down this path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Fullness life, not in the flesh, but in him. I have told you that in me you will have peace. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. After you have suffered for a little while, he will restore you and make you strong. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my load is easy and my burden is life. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. I delight in insults, in conflict, in hardships, in persecution, and it's coming, in difficulty, for when I am weak, then I am, I can't hear you, strong. Spirit, take me in arms with you. Don't cop out. He will take us in his arms and scoop you up and protect you. But they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. The Lord will fight for you. You just need to be still. And we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God, that are called upon him. Say this with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Father, we're so thankful that your word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, it can cut through all of our bummers, through all of our problems, through all of our depression, through all of our addictions, through all of our stuff. Father, we're so glad that we know you. I pray for these dear, sweet brothers and sisters, that Lord Jesus, they can draw that chalk line around themselves and have a revival of one with you, for an audience of one with you. The Father, you really want to take it. So, Lord, I pray this blessing on them, that, Lord, we all can, eyes wide open, pray as we go throughout our day. And, Lord Jesus, if there be one or several or dozens here that don't know you, Father, save now. Save now, Lord, because, Jesus, You love them so much. Father, you love us more than we can love each other. And may they experience that love. May they experience that joy. May they experience that peace. May they experience that comfort, because, Lord, you are those things. For those that don't know you, may they come into your fold today, and may they say these words, that God, you are my Father. Jesus, you are my Savior. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. And heaven is my home. So, Lord, cradle them, touch their hearts, save now, we pray. I pray as we go from here to eat and to potluck or to home or to road trip or to flight, that Jesus, may they walk with you. Lord, you say that with me you can, but without me you won't. Father, they need to put their hand in your hand and trust you. Father, may we be a people that do that today. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.